Message is infallible knowledge, infallible knowledge. And if you have your Bibles with you today, we return to a verse that we looked at last week, which is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 20. And as I mentioned last week, the words there, O Timothy, could easily be changed or presented in this fashion, O church, because Timothy was entrusted to carry the truth of God to us this day. We are called to carry the truth of God to the generations that will come after us and to live it in intensity to this day. The Word of God tells us, O Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane and empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and by doing so have erred. They've missed the mark and strayed from the faith. Grace be with you. The knowledge that God has entrusted to us is beyond who we are. The knowledge that God has placed into the care of the church is beyond who we are. Good morning. Good morning. We are trusted with the deposit of infallible knowledge. And infallible knowledge means this: it is not erred in any way. It is not filled with mistakes in any way. The truth that is proclaimed in God's word is without flaw or failure. The power of grace leads us to fulfill this call to live with the deposit of truth in us, that infallible knowledge, to not only apply it in our lives, but to present it and to lead others to the safety of God's word. Keep safe the deposit. The church of all gatherings, the church of all things, and when I say this, the church is an organism. We are a living organism. You know what the Bible says about the church? We individually are not the church, are we? We're not. We make up the church because we are called living stones. And the church exists not in one person. The church exists in the collective of the saints that trust in God. We are a living organism and the only living organism entrusted with the infallible knowledge of God. What a responsibility. See, when God looks at government, he's not looking at government as the deposit of truth. Because he knew that kings would what? Fail us. In fact, he rebuked Israel for wanting a king. He says, I've been your leader, but you want a man to lead you now. But then he gave them a king, and we saw the process of that. We saw the pain that trusting in the knowledge of man brought about. But church, of all institutions or organisms, we are entrusted with the deposit of truth. The deposit is the word of God, and we must not fail keeping safe this deposit. For when the church surrenders truth, things fall apart. When a country no longer honors the church, that country what? Falls apart. All you got to do is look at countries throughout the world and see who do they glorify. And the ones that have that remnant that glorify God, you see a difference, a contrast. And sometimes it's even a physical contrast that you see. So we are not non-essential. We are essential. The church is essential. And I know what you're saying. It felt so essential when I sat in that beauty parlor this week, right? my wife actually had to sign a waiver to go and get her hair done. But she felt so essential when she got there, right? And the church is essential because the church is the deposit of truth. That deposit is the Word of God. And we see this, the church, the true church, will not fail. I want you to, and I don't have the scripture up here on the slides, but it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this. Now the Spirit expressively says that in the latter times, listen closely to this, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Now who was Timothy talking to? Timothy was talking to the church, and he says, church, in the latter days, as time begins to wind down, there's going to be an intensifying of the falling away from the truth of God. So he was warning the church, and it's been labeled this, the apostate church. And that word apostate, falling away, is associated with what? Church. People that had held to faith at some point are going to have teachings that are going to come to them that are going to deceive them because they listen to deceitful spirits and even teachings of demons. And when you say, how can a demon teach someone that's in the church? By coming as an angel of light, a disguise, coming with a smiling face, with a wolf spirit within them. The Word of God is infallible. Without error, without concern of it giving us misguided information or commands. The Word of God is the only source of infallible knowledge. Can't find it anywhere else. You can look, you can find best-selling books and textbooks that have been used for years and years, but all of them have this in common. They're fallible. Their source is the heart of man, and man is fallible. But the Bible, when you hold the Bible and acknowledge the Bible, you hold knowledge. And not only do you hold knowledge, you hold what? Truth in your hand. You know, some people don't hold to the Word because they don't want to hold to the authority of the Word. So when you hold this Bible, you hold knowledge, you hold truth, and you hold authority. And once you say that this Bible is infallible, you must honor its authority. But it's a lot easier to just kind of fill it with holes and say, you know, it contains the truth. And I remember one of the first classes I had in Bible college. The professor said, I want to ask this class a question. And he was ready. He says, does the Bible contain the Word of God? And y'all don't answer it. But everybody, yes! And then he looked at us. How dare you? You're wrong. And I said, oh man, maybe I enrolled in the wrong college. He says, the Bible is the Word of God. So if you say it contains it, then there's some things in here that aren't the Word. But that's not the deposit that God has left us. This is the breath of God worthy to be trusted. And if I believe it is knowledge, infallible, if I believe it is truth, I must also believe that it's the highest authority. And we know this, Jesus is known as the Word. Again, the Bible is infallible knowledge. Thank you, Lord. The Bible is infallible truth. And the Bible is infallible authority. I know what it's like to be a daddy, too. Because, you know, daddies aren't supposed to ever be wrong, right? Because when daddy says something, he's always right. And then y'all can laugh. Y'all can go ahead and laugh. This mindset that my authority, I won't miss it. Guess what? We do miss it. And when we miss it as daddies and we tell our precious children. Remember, someone told me a long time ago, hey, when you mess up in your leadership as a daddy, look your babies right in the eyes and say these powerful words, I'm sorry. Because that doesn't weaken your authority. It gives your authority wisdom to know that you are a fallible source. But the Bible is infallible authority. It will never lead us wrong. And if we'll raise our hand, you don't have to do that. But when I haven't listened to what God has said in His Word and applied it, guess what? It hit me hard. And it stung really bad. Because all God was doing is saying, I want to give you authority to protect you and to be the best advice you can have and the best path you can be on. But when we fail to honor it, we won't listen to the authority of the Word of God. The source by which all things are tested, right here, the Word of God. All things. My attitude, my position, where I'm entrenched is tested by the Word of God. And then we see this in Deuteronomy. I don't have it on the slide here, but Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 tells us this. Do not add to what I command. This is God speaking to Israel. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it. Some people recreate the Ten Commandments because all of them don't seem real pliable to them. And people have, in fact, there's no lie. There's been churches that have lowered the number and proudly presented. Oh, we're focusing in on these eight. Do not add to what I command you. Do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I will give you. The Bible is, now hold on guys. I'm not trying to get hearts mad here, but think about this for a minute. The Bible is the greatest science book ever. Now hold on. I actually had someone tell me one time, the Bible is not a science book. And then I started like, wait a minute. Think about that a little bit. The Bible's not a science book, is what was said to me. So what does the Bible say when something comes to you? You test it. And maybe this individual thinks, I'm still wrong. But in my spirit, that just didn't seem right. What do you mean the Bible is not a science book? And in essence, it was saying science is a higher authority than God. What is science? Science is knowledge, right? Science is knowledge. Now, I'm just going to touch on this real quick. In our society, science has been elevated above God in many people's hearts. It has. And don't think that that is a strategy that developed out of someone's quest to just know stuff. It is a demonic quest to defame the Word of God, which is the highest book of knowledge. And let me just put it this way. There was a time where when people read Genesis and looked at the creation of the world and how man was created, they read it and they what? Believed it. But along came a man by the name of Darwin that had a different strategy. And I'm not going to get into this lengthy, I promise you, so don't get mad at me. Darwin's theories went totally against what God's Word said in what book? Genesis, right at the very beginning. So God spoke it, and what is the speaking of God, the breath of God, His Word? He spoke it into existence. Says it pretty clear and plain. Well, very clear and plain. So man was created by God from the dust of the ground, not from a series of primates that eventually came to become man. And in fact, if you believe that, now hold on to this a minute, you have to accept this detrimental belief that it took death to create man. Because if we evolved from a primate, then a series of dying had to occur. But Genesis tells us what? Genesis tells us that death is not the fruit of creation. Death is the fruit of man sinning against God. So either you got to rewrite Genesis in your authority, or you read it the way it's presented. And I'm just going to stop at this point. So please, I'm going to stop at this point. We have all grown up in classrooms taught things in the powerful name of what? Science. And it has been a direct assault of getting the young heart not to trust the highest authority, the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, if you embrace that death had to be the process in which man was created, that's between you and God, okay? It's between you and God. But you got to do some major editing to the Word of God. Don't add, don't take away to make that fit. Let's look at what science is, the definition of science. This comes right out of the dictionary. And you weigh, as you read this, you weigh how that compares to the Word of God. These are straight out of the dictionary. Science, a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths, systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. Knowledge, a body of facts, truths systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. Can we thank God that He took the lives of people and He allowed their lives to be an open book for us to see what happens when we apply His principles and His truths? It's all filled with the study of applying the breath of God, the Word of God. The fruit of not applying versus the fruit of applying. It's systematically seen in Scripture. Another definition of science is this: systematic knowledge of the physical or material world gained through observation and experimentation. Can that apply to God's Word? Systematic knowledge, seeing how knowledge is built in an orderly fashion. The physical and material world, of the physical and material world, gained through observation and experimentation. Church, the walk of faith is all about an experiment. Meaning that when we apply what God has said, we will see the facts of it living out in principle in our lives. We will observe the beauty of not only the physical aspect of what we experience, the material aspect of what we experience, but the beautiful order of coming in a knowledge of the spiritual realm that is around us. Systematic knowledge of the physical and material world gained through observation and experimentation. Church, thank you that you stepped out and applied God's Word in your life. Thank you that you took God at his word and you applied it, and through it we observe the beauty of God. And then lastly, another element of that definition is this: science, skill, especially reflecting a precise application of facts or principles or proficiency. See, God didn't give us his word for us just to talk about it on Sundays, right? He didn't just give us his word so that we could preach about it. He gave us his word for it to be a living action in our lives, where it would be applied in a precise manner of trust. The question this morning is, who is the author of your science book? Who is the author of your book of knowledge? Who are we trusting in? Who is the author of the authority that we establish our steps upon? There is nothing in this Bible that embarrasses me. Nothing. There is nothing in the order in which is shown the creation of this world that makes me feel ashamed in any way. In fact, the Word of God elevates who God is in my understanding, and I am not ashamed of it at all. And how dare man rise up to tell us that we got to edit this thing to make it digestible in the heart of logic and reason. How sad. How sad. Let's look at a few scriptures about scripture, about the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 19. Peter writes, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will," listen closely, "you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart." Basically this: in this world of confusion, in this world that is filled with so many different paths, God says, as the illumination is hindered in this earth, pay attention to the Word of God, for it will shine through the confusion of man, and it will show you the way. Knowing this, first of all, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. You don't have to fear that this Bible is guided by the heart of man. It is not. Will man take this Bible and put it into his own interpretation to try to control man? It's happened throughout centuries, and God warned us about it. But the purity of the origins of the Bible is not from the heart of man, it is from the heart of God. Verse 21, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of," say that word with me, "man, but men spoke," hallelujah, "from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Here's the thing I want to encourage you about. Love the Word of God more than you love any other source of knowledge. And let me just put it this way. Jesus is the Word. So when you pick up the Bible, you're picking up part of God, the breath of God. And to be able to understand what the Bible says, we have to have the Holy Spirit. We can't have a religious spirit and understand what's in here. That's why so much of what's out there is filled with confusion, because it flows out of a religious spirit and not the Holy Spirit. So when you pick up the Bible, one of the things to do right away is say, "Holy Spirit, open your word to me that I may know the heart of God, and not only understand it, but to have power to apply it And watch what happens. It is amazing to me what happens. And again, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Our faith will determine how we value and trust the Word of God. It really boils down to that. If I want God interacting with me with clarity, I will not avoid interacting with the Word. I will love interacting with the Word because I know when I go there, God's going to say something to me. Even if it's a passage, one scripture, God has something He wants to say. And then we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's not just the scriptures that we like, because some of them are a challenge, aren't they? All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof. How many of us need reproof? So not today, Pastor, not today. I need it every day. I do. For correction, don't correct me. I'm mature now. I'm a man now. Don't correct me. I need correction. For correction and for training in righteousness. Now think about this a minute. Righteousness sounds like this word that is just so full of glitter, but it's not. Righteousness means being in right step with God. It's being in right step with God, right standing before God. And without the Word, we cannot stand right before God. We just can't. That's why God wants us to be people that draw from His book of knowledge. He wants us to come and learn daily from it because He wants to guide us to where our feet need to be planted. See, without knowledge, people perish. If I could come up with a way to make bananas last longer, I'd be a rich, rich man. Austin loves bananas. He's very picky about the bananas that he eats. Once they start changing color, he just won't touch them. I'm going to tell on you, Austin. So I had bought these bananas, and I looked at they began to ripen a little too much. And I looked at them, and there were quite a few, and I said, I'm not throwing those out. And me personally, I don't eat bananas right now. I just don't. Too much sugar going on. I don't eat them. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make a banana cake. And he did eat the banana cake. I made a banana cake, first scratch cake I ever made. Buy them green. I've been trying to do it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, that's the way. That's the way to be prepared. But I said that to say this. Perishing is a gradual process. Fading from being at the prime place, perishing happens in the life of believers when knowledge is not their quest. And when I say knowledge, when they do not want revelation from God. For without knowledge, people what? Perish. Why? Is God being cruel to us because we're not seeking Him? No. He's saying, I want your feet planted here. And how will you know if my word doesn't reveal it to you? How will you know? And here's something to stay encouraged about. God pinpoints the things that He wants to say to you. And nothing that God communicates to you is by accident. So when we have faith to believe that God is going to speak, When we go into that word, God will order the direction to say the thing that we need that day. That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. And he is faithful to honor that. Avoiding the word is avoiding the message that God has for us. And it's not a message of belittlement, discouragement. It's about lifting us up and bringing strength to our lives. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then lastly, in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the what? The word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men. What do we do with the word of men? He's just a little too fanatical. He's just taking it a little too far. That's what we do with the word of man. I don't agree with that. Chas, I don't agree with that. Been there, right? I don't agree with that. What do we do? We discount it. But you know what? When we know it's the word of God and we want to honor God, we ain't going to throw it aside. We won't. But the problem is, if we do, it forms a habit of setting aside another, and another, until we arise to this scary tack, or fact. Am I an editor of God's word? Am I a proofreader for the word of God? Is it up to me to lighten it where it's palatable for me and for others? No. That is what's so encouraging. It's the word of who? God. That's a peaceful thing. Man, yeah, we better edit man. In fact, Chaz, the Bible says we better test what that man says, right? But the word of God is received and acknowledged with honor, not in need of our editing or changing or making it something that people can tolerate. Mm-mm. Celebrate the beauty of God's word. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is. I'm going to say that again. But as what it really is, and let's say this together, the word of God. The word of God, which is at work in you believers. So here's the thing. Believers have the working of God's word within them. Those that are falling away are not drawn to the nourishment of the word of God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. How do you accept God's word into your daily life? That's a fair question to ask all of us here right now. Because all of us want to grow, right? We all want to be in God's right standing before God, because you don't get in a better place than that. The fullness of life comes when we're standing where God wants us to stand. How do you accept God's word into your daily life? How is your life relating to God's word in a daily manner? And this is a beauty. God's word doesn't sit on a shelf. No. God's word is not dormant. No. God's word is living and active. The only thing is that I am the one that becomes dormant and dead when the word is not living in me. Let us not separate ourselves from the precious word of God. Whose word is at work in you? Whose knowledge, and I'm speaking to myself, whose knowledge do you trust in to guide your steps? Man, we're living in some crazy times. When disorder arises out of man's quest to be the authority of his life, chaos breaks loose, and that's what we see. But order and peace and soundness comes when God is working in us by his word. Don't navigate this by what you hear on news. Don't do it. Navigate through the Spirit of God speaking clear to you. Don't fill in the blanks by what the anchor man says. Fill in the blanks by what God's word says. What did we say at the very beginning today? Love God and love people. Sherry embraces that so deep in her heart. Love God, love people. If we will honor the two greatest commandments, we're going to get through whatever the world brings. Don't be surprised at what man is capable of doing. God told us there's nothing more deceptive than the heart of man, and there's nothing more wicked than the fallen nature of man. And guess what? We have both of those in us. We have a heart that we were born with that was fallen, which is a fallen nature that is capable of any type of evil. And the worst evil that I can think of is doing something and putting God's name on it. That's a scary place, and that's why the church and teachers in the church and pastors are going to be held at a different standard, meaning stricter judgment. And then, O Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Whose knowledge do you trust in to guide your steps? Whose knowledge is deposited within you? O Timothy, O church, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Do you see that? There's an action. Guard and keep safe. What does that mean? There's going to be things that are going to come to try to steal the knowledge and that deposit of truth within us. But be active, be ready, keep safe, and guard the deposit of God's truth or of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane, empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. What is it contradicting? The word of God. That's the bottom line. Truth. Truth is in our hands. And when the message that elevates within my heart and in my minds and within my mind and with my action stands against what God has asked, I'm contradicting the infallible knowledge. I'm contradicting the infallible truth. I'm contradicting the infallible authority of God. And I don't want to live these few years on this earth doing that. And then, O Timothy, guard and keep safe. In verse 2, it tells us the fruit of what happens when we falsely call things knowledge, which some have professed and by doing so have erred, missing the mark, meaning sinned, and strayed from the faith. Grace be with you. Church, we are the deposit of truth. We are. So I feel weak. Yeah. There are a lot of loud voices that are crying out. There are a lot of strong opinions that are elevated. But we are the deposit of truth. It's not the government, no. It's not the education system, no. It's not my moral fortitude, no. It's the church of Jesus Christ is where truth is entrusted. And you alone, speaking of myself, I alone am not the church. I'm not. But when I come together with you, the living stones of God that make up his dwelling, then we are the church. So what God is saying, together, we will guard this truth. Are y'all ready for the day when government says you can't meet? And if you meet, you're going to go to jail? Y'all ready for that day? I mean, it's already happening, right? Right? But right now it's in like this place that we're dealing with it. But how about when it's not? Are you ready to be a champion of truth when your life is at risk? Let me bring it to this place. Are you ready to be a deposit of truth when socially you will be rejected? Will you? If your Facebook likes collapse, or Lord help us, you get banned off of Facebook, will you and I be willing to be that deposit of truth? Because you know, it costs the disciples and the prophets their lives. You think they're in heaven now regretting what they did? No. In fact, we're going to celebrate with them one day. And they're going to look at us, you know, those were interesting days that you were living in. I thought I was going through this. Whoa. But you held true to being that deposit of truth. I have something here I want to show you guys. Because somebody's coming right for your truth. You believe it? Somebody is coming for your truth. You felt it. The first person that comes to take away the deposit is our fallen nature rising up and wanting its authority back. And it will lie to us. It will tell us, yeah, this is what you need to do. But when we do it, does it bring peace and joy? Does it bring the solace of God? No. We can pseudo that, but it's not the real thing. Somebody's coming for your truth. But you are a deposit that is unbreakable. Because it is God who is your strength to hold on. You know, there's a bank in a community that I live in, and I grew up in, and it was a bank on the corner for years, and then the flood came. Remember when the flood came, and it flooded out that building, and so they decided the only thing we can do is tear it down. So, I drove by one day and the building was totally torn down, the bank building, but there was something that was still standing, and it was the safe they didn't tear down. And it had that old door, you know, the old style bank door on it, and they left that up. And eventually a plant nursery is utilizing that now, and so they use that safe as a place to store stuff. And I thought, you know, they tore the whole bank down, but the safe was what? Safe. It remained. Same thing with us. Whoever comes to steal this truth, they can't break that safe. They can't. Last week, we had a can of Spam that was a place to, it was a safe. And we talked about how we many times don't feel worthy of being a deposit of truth, but it's not us that makes us worthy. It is God. And Spam, you gotta look at the glorious Spam. There's some good, right? Well, today, this is filled with pages in the Bible. But it's also something that's very safe. Can you come up here?
You.
Come on. Yeah, come on up. Come on. Come on up here. Somebody tried to break in your house, try to take what you have. You think they're going to steal your Bible? They're not. You think they're going to steal your can of Spam? Maybe. It depends how hungry. I want you to look at that Bible a minute. What's special about it? What's special about it? It's a safe. Show that, if you will. And turn the front there. And I'm going to take it over to this camera where our folks on Zoom can see it. This is a home safe where you put your healthy treasures, right? And somebody come in your house and they look for the Bible to steal the Bible. They're probably not going to take the Bible. But they may take the Spam. This is for you as a reminder about the deposit of God that lives within you. And I have another little book here to give you guidance how to set that combination on there. But we appreciate you all being here today. All right, man. All right. Church, be reminded of these facts as we close today. The church is a guardian of the truth. The church is not only a guardian, but I would say the guardian of truth. And you are part of that church. You will be held accountable for the way you handle the truth of God that is entrusted to you. Do you know you are the deposit of truth? Then press forward in that awesome call that God has given you. The father of lies has intensified his attack on truth. Satan has unleashed an all-out attack to shut down the deposit of truth called the church. Rest assured, what we are experiencing right now in our country is a layered attack. And it is testing to see how we value the gathering of the body of Christ. Now, please understand what I'm saying when I say that. We will endure as a church. We will. And you may say one day you may drive past Monticello Road and not see this church here anymore. That could happen. But that doesn't mean the church has faded away. Not at all. But never let anyone make you feel that the church can exist as a solo. Can't. Do not forsake the gathering, even that much more as the day approaches. We may come to a time where having these doors open risk us being thrown in jail. Thank God we live in a state that is not like that. And that's God's mercy. But that can change. We are living stones, purpose to unite and live and gather in oneness. And as long as I have life in this body, may I never forsake the gathering of ourselves together, regardless of what the consequences are. So you stay encouraged that no matter how Satan has unleashed an attack against the church, he's done it in other countries, and people have pressed through and continued to be the church. Satan cannot weaken the infallible knowledge of God. There's no way he can weaken that. So don't fear that. The deposit that dwells in you is the strength that will make you victorious. Relinquish it to no one. Refuse to trust infallible knowledge. guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. And I'm going to ask if we can just stand for a moment. And I want us, if this is in your heart, I totally don't want you to do this if this is not in your heart, because we don't make statements of faith to God lightly. But if this is in your heart, I would like us to do this in a corporate manner. Because if we don't pronounce what we are, it will be that much easier to morph or change into something else. We must know where our commitment lies. And if this is in your heart, if we can pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, if it's in your heart, we are the church. Father, we recognize that we are the church of Jesus Christ. What a gift of grace. Father, we are entrusted with your word. If that's in your heart, make that known to God. We are entrusted with your word. It's not placed in any other hands other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we are light in this earth. If you can, in your own way, proclaim that. Lord Jesus, I am light in this earth. And you know you are, church. You are beautiful. How lovely are the feet of those who bring the good news, the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we are salt in this earth. If that's in your heart, establish that. Proclaim that to God. It's his word. We are salt in this earth. And we will not, by your strength, lose saltiness, effectiveness, purpose, and value. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, light and salt, rise up, for that is what we are. And unto you, God, we will not abandon the truth that you have entrusted. If that's in your heart today, proclaim it to God. Because all of us one day are going to stand before him. And may we acknowledge what his word is asking us to be now. And as we stand before him, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, deposit of truth. Salt and light in this earth. We will not abandon the truth that you have entrusted. No matter how weary we get, God, depressed we get, beat down we get, rise up, O truth of God. And if this is in your heart, proclaim it to the one who formed you and made you. We love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Not a phrase without action. Not a hearer of the word alone, but a doer of the word. I love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, Lord. We love your word. We thank you that you reveal it to our hearts and you empower it in our steps. We love your word, Lord Jesus. We're not ashamed of it. We're not the editor of it. We're not the denier of parts that are uncomfortable to us. We love your word, Lord Jesus, for you are the word. And in the power not of self, we stand before you, God, claiming, proclaiming, we will stand and not fall by the strength of your Spirit within us. Can you proclaim that to God? We will stand and not fall by the strength of your Spirit in us. Release, Lord Jesus, the light, the salt, the truth. We will not shrink. No matter what rises up around us, we will not pull back. We will not shrink. We will move forward in the purposes and plans of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.